Good morning and welcome back to another edition of High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne, right here on Talk 960, brought to you by Providence St. Mary Medical Center. COVID-19 cases are rising in our high desert. Make your appointment today to protect yourself, your family, and our community. Schedule your free appointment at a convenient location near you through myturn.ca.gov. Message brought to you by trusted friends in the high desert, Providence St. Mary Medical Center, and the San Bernardino County Department of Public Health. We're keeping it local with high desert issues, events, and interesting people. You can hear us every weekend, Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. on Talk 960 and talk960.com. Let's get to it.
So good morning. You know what? We have a whole show that's dedicated to a community update by someone who I think all of our listeners is going to be really excited to hear from. We have with us Sheriff Shannon Dykus, who is, of course, the sheriff of San Bernardino County. He was appointed in 2021, and he was elected in January 2023. He has lived in San Bernardino County for over 40 years, so he knows this area up close and personal. I want to welcome to Conversations with Regina and Roxanne our own Sheriff Shannon Dykus. Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Thank you, Regina and Roxanne. Glad to be here.
So, Sheriff, I want to really be able to fully utilize our time by having you share with us. There are a lot of things that are going on, of course, across the county, but specific to the high desert. There are a lot of great things that are happening, a lot of things that I think our listeners will be excited to learn. And so I just kind of want to jump in and ask you to share with us some of the exciting things that will help to improve our public safety system that you can share with us today.
Sure, I'd love to. And there are certainly a number of things that we're working on in the Sheriff's Department, some things I'm very excited about. One that I know, Regina, you're definitely in tune to, I'm sure Roxanne is as well, but we're in the process of working with the board members to establish a full-time HOPE team, which is Homeless Outreach and Proactive Enforcement Team.
Yes.
To assist in dealing with a number of the homeless issues. Now, the HOPE team has gone up to the desert and has certainly worked with our patrol stations up there and have really created some genuinely good numbers in trying to connect people to services up there. But having a full-time team is something I'm looking forward to, and I think all of our cities, as well as the county area, will appreciate the work they do.
Yes. And, Sheriff, just for the listeners who may not be aware, our HOPE team has been in existence for how many years now?
So we just hit one decade, Regina. I'm pretty excited about that. They've been in existence for an entire decade now.
Wow. And I know they have done some amazing work here in the high desert, but to your point, they have not been able to be full-time. And what you're saying to us today is that we now have established a full-time team.
Absolutely. And just to give you an idea of what they've been able to do in the high desert, and this goes back, just going back to July of last year, they've made about 650 contacts in our high desert, where 426 of those folks were referred to services. 125 of those were directly assisted, and 83 of those have been directly housed. And I think that's just a testament to the type of work they do and what they're able to do when we interact with those experiencing homelessness there in the high desert.
That's wonderful news. Sheriff, when does that actually go into effect, or is it already in effect?
Well, right. It's technically already in effect. As you know, we're moving into the next budget cycle in July.
Mm-hmm.
So we're putting all of that together and getting the approved funding. And it's certainly my hope that right after July, we can put personnel and boots on the ground and start that initiative off.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. So that's huge.
It is huge news.
Yeah, that's
huge news. For our community
especially. And I think you've got a couple of other things that you want to share with us.
I do. So one of the things, Regina, that we're trying to do, I think all of us know, we see it up there in the high desert, just the expansiveness and the number of folks that are moving up there. And when you look at San Bernardino County, it's still affordable for families to move into the high desert. And the county has always had this vision, and the vision really is supporting people that move into our county from cradle to career. I really think that focusing on the high desert, if you talk about, you know, Victor Valley College and other entities in the high desert, all of our cities, their councils, are all buying into the same type of vision about how we support people. So the desert's really primed for growth.
Yes.
We know we have the Silverwood Project, for instance, and the new Hesperia Station. It's still new to me, but it was built to really expand this growth and the expansion of the Hesperia area into that project. But also there's a lot of county area that circles that high desert area. And the beats, if you think about it, for one deputy sheriff, in certain cases, are like 1,500 square miles.
Wow.
So one of the most recent things that have happened, with a lot of help from the First District, Colonel Cook, is they've funded me, and I just added 7 deputy sheriffs to the Victor Valley Station.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That
now,
is
when you
great
that,
news.
Working with all of our cities, Victorville, Apple Valley, they're all doing the same thing and expanding those public safety services. So we're in this unison vision together up there in the desert that certainly helps me as the sheriff provide those public safety resources to the public as we grow. And I certainly want people to bring their children up to the high desert, not have to look over their shoulders about public safety issues, and really work more on families thriving in that environment up there. So one of the things that I think is really near and dear, in addition to adding those deputies, is we purchased land off of Duncan, which is the extension of Bear Valley Road,
mm-hmm.
bought an old water district building, but we're currently working with the board members, specifically the First District, to expand that building and put a lot more services that you would technically find at sheriff's headquarters, like records, live scans for folks coaching Little League and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
We want to bring more of those services to the high desert. So we're going to expand that water district building. We want to put evidentiary resources, you know, the warehouses to hold those things for all of the contract cities we support, as well as the county area. We also want to have all of our search and rescue assets under one roof so that they're protected. The command posts are ready. Heaven forbid we have disasters up there.
Yes.
Really kind of put the high desert on a map in a public safety way that all of the members of the public can know that we are ready for those disasters to occur. We have the equipment from the board, and we're well postured to really take on anything that's either, man-made or natural disasters that may come our way. And as a sheriff, that gives me great confidence. And again, I see us working in unison across the board through both local and county government to accomplish these goals.
Now, Sheriff, let me ask the question, because is that, I've heard talk of there's a new station that's being built here.
So, Regina, there is. Victorville City is building a brand new station, just like Hesperia did.
Okay.
And that will be built in downtown Victorville. The city is investing in that, and it'll be built there in the same off of Civic, in that same area where the council chambers are at.
Mm-hmm.
And that's currently in the design phase, and it's something we're really excited about. And I know so is the city as they expand and more business moves to the Victorville city area.
Well, Sheriff, so that we can manage our expectations, do we kind of have a timeline of when that new station will be online?
Well, like I said, they're in the design phase, and I'll probably be able to give you more exacting dates here pretty soon. But I think you're going to see breaking ground in a few things. So just my estimation, and it's certainly preliminary, I'm quite sure the city has better numbers than I do, but we're talking in the next 2 to 3 years.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. It'll go by pretty fast.
Yeah, that will go by quickly. Yeah, and that's wonderful. And so
yeah, just in my time, I've seen a number of stations. You know, we moved several times just because of the growth of Victorville, and,
uh-huh.
and I think that's really tantamount to the city's efforts in bringing in business and bringing in, you know, developers, neighborhoods, and families, and it's really the place people want to be. Entertainment. I mean, you see a lot of really great things coming to the high desert right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and so, Sheriff, can you talk to us a little bit about, because I know recently, you know, in the news and also just amongst ourselves as citizens, there's been quite a bit of concern about the smash and grab type of crimes that are going on. Can you talk to us a little bit about that and possibly even give us some tips or some you know, insight onto how to handle that if we're witnessing that or if we're involved in that in any kind of way?
Sure. So, Regina, what you're talking about is probably one of the number one public safety things that we all see in the news. And as a sheriff, I kind of see it twofold. So, number one, what you see in the news are these organized groups which involves, in terms of crime, conspiracies to commit these types of crimes where they're coming in mass,
uh-huh,
or they're having these planned operations with more than one person. So that's something that we're certainly working on, not only providing security to those businesses and intelligence to those businesses, but I'm also working with our state legislators. One of them is James Ramos, an Assembly Bill 1772.
Okay.
And that's one that there are a number of changes. Back when we heard the Safer Neighborhoods and Schools Act, of course, to all of us as voters, that sounded really good. But in the fine print, it changed a few things related to theft. Where grand theft used to be considered $400 and over, it moved it up to $950. Mm-hmm. So anything $950 or less is considered a misdemeanor, not a felony. So if you look at this holistically and you look at it, okay, we don't want to be sending people to prison for shoplifting, for instance. There's got to be a better way. What we also did as California citizens prior to Prop 47 is we had petty theft with a prior. So if you did these things three times, then you would be subject to state prison.
Okay.
But Prop 47 now leveled the playing field, moved it up to $950, but they took away petty theft with a prior. What we're trying to do with that assembly bill with James Ramos is bring back petty theft with a prior so that there's actually teeth in these things, and we hope we discourage some of the smash and grabs you see. And I told you early on, it's kind of a view from two points. One is these organized groups. But when you talk to some of our bigger employers like Stater Brothers, for instance,
mm-hmm,
the individuals committing shoplifting right now, and I'm sure there are many social causes for this. We all know inflation's high, you know, a number of things. People are having a harder time affording things. But businesses like Stater Brothers, they're dealing with these single-person thefts every day and these phenomenal amounts. And so you're saying, well, geez, Sheriff, why can't you do this? Why aren't these people getting arrested? By California making these things misdemeanors under that threshold of $950, a law enforcement officer by law cannot arrest those people unless it occurs in their presence. So what you heard me say during the Christmas holiday for the Mall of Victor Valley, we were putting deputy sheriffs undercover in a lot of those stores so that if we did witness these things, we could make those direct arrests and try to thwart these folks to really say, hey, you don't know if there's a cop in there or not. You might want to think twice about doing that. And as a result, it did affect some of our numbers positively,
okay,
in terms of petty theft. But unfortunately, there's politics and public safety and really a basic understanding of the law that I appreciate shows like this so we can educate all of the citizens up there in the high desert and they understand why we have to do the things we do. And that as the sheriff, I'm trying to handle this by working with our legislators and try to bring some change that will give our deputy sheriffs in the field a little bit more tools.
Sheriff, I greatly appreciate that. Now, I'm going to ask the question, is there anything that you can suggest for us as community that we can do to help champion this ASB 1772 or
other legislation,
yes,
going on?
Yes, or ask, you know, for this legislation to be passed or... You know, is there something that we can do as constituents, as community, to support these efforts?
You know, Regina and Roxanne, I really appreciate this conversation because one of the things I'm trying to do, and you can go to our website for public affairs, and we will get you on the list for a newsletter that comes from me directly, and I discuss these issues, how politics overlaps to public safety. I also issue to our legislators on bills that come in that I either support or oppose, and I'm doing the best I can to share those with the public. But the reason this conversation is important is I also don't expect that everybody's going to agree with me,
mm-hmm,
but it allows a great vehicle for conversation because it allows the public to say, hey, Sheriff, I support you in that effort, or hey, would you look at A, B, C, and D? And I think this conversation and that newsletter certainly brings us to a point where we're all talking. And it allows me as the sheriff to make sure I'm representing the folks that voted for me in the manner that they expect and how they want public safety to proceed.
Yes. And so, Sheriff, that brings me to a point I'd like for you to expand on. You have a public affairs department. And I know that I have worked for many, many years with your public affairs department in getting information, whether that's through the ways of workshops, classes, just, you know, being able to pick up a phone and make a call and say, hey, what's going on? Through your public affairs department, can you talk to us about your public affairs department and specifically what they do here in our community in the High Desert?
Absolutely. Our public affairs department's really designed to be very agile and do our best to be able to inform the community about what's going on. And they're broke up in several different groups. It could be labor organizations, you know, when you have striking and things like that going on. It could be specific community groups, you know, the African-American Chamber. It could be the Hispanic Chamber. So we're designed to be able to provide information to any of our community groups that ask. And there's three big ways that I try to get that communication across in terms of what's going on at the highest levels, but all the way through down the commands, because a commander at a station, whether it be Victorville, Apple Valley, Hesperia, or Adelanto, they speak my voice. And we work with the councils as a result of what the needs are in that specific community.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Roxanne and Regina, both of you have been around. You know each one of our communities are dynamically different and have different concerns.
Yes.
So the public affairs, we have these three basic ways. We call it information exchange. And we have one that, you know, Regina, you've been a part of for years in terms of it's something where I, as the sheriff, along with my executive staff, talk to a number of community members about what's going on. And then really, more importantly, expose ourselves to the questions they have. But how public affairs is so instrumental in what they do is we realize that we've had a lot of, I'll call, traditional partners that have always been there and want to be informed in the community and have really become true partners over the years. But during the pandemic, we realized that, I'll call it that 13 to 35 age gap, they weren't attending these things.
Mm-hmm.
So we did another level of next-gen communication is what we called it. Whereas in our traditional information exchange, those folks have worked with us for years. Nobody's afraid to ask questions, good, bad, or indifferent. But younger people, they're in some cases, aren't as willing to stand up and ask a question. So what's unique to Next Gen is we invite all these folks in, and it's not just younger people, straight-A students. These are at-risk kids. Anybody in that community that wants to understand their sheriff's department and have a voice,
we
invite them there. But what's different about this is we set them up in groups of 5 to 10, with the deputy sheriff in that group. And then they talk about their own life experiences, what's going on, how that relates to public safety, and they meet their deputy. But then the deputy stands up and asks their questions. So it prevents that awkwardness, or it prevents a question not being asked that may be very important.
Mm-hmm.
And it creates an entirely different environment. And we really love that. And we're trying to get more people involved in Next Gen. And same thing, all you have to do is go to public affairs and we'll give you the dates of those events. If anybody wants to be involved in that, schools that want to involve their kids, you know, a number of those things, parents that want to involve their kids, we're certainly inviting them to come in and be a part of their sheriff's department. And then the last information exchange piece I have, because all of our communities in the High Desert are so dynamic and have different priorities, is the captain has its own version of information exchange where some of the same influential community members come to the meeting with the captain. And he can tell them, hey, this is what's going on in Apple Valley.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's going on in Victorville. And so now my hope is that you have that connection locally, but you also have that connection to the broader sheriff's department and know that we do answer to the community and we invite people to come in and ask us questions, even the uncomfortable ones, because it's my opinion and my stance that I should be able to answer those questions, and none of those questions should be anything we shy away from. And if there is, I should have a reason for it.
I love this information exchange. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking to Sheriff Dykus of San Bernardino County. Once again, Sheriff, thank you for taking the time to talk to us about what's happening in the community. In addition to your information exchange, your newsletter that our citizens can read and learn from, what else would you like our community to do to perform our civic duty to help out our community? Do you have any other resources? How else can our citizens get involved to help the Sheriff's Department, to help our community out?
You know, I think there's a number of things going on that unfortunately tie over in politics and public safety. If I can provide information to the public and it helps them to decide what's best for our community to vote on, I would certainly like to do that, making sure we're understanding what we're voting on. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Safe Neighborhoods and Schools Act always causes me some concern because I believe that some of the things that came out with that just went a little too far and took out some of the consequences, if you will, and I see that kind of resurgence. So if people read the newsletter, and again, whether they agree or disagree, it's my hope that we work together and we land our public safety mission in the communities the way they see us want to work. I certainly, at 100%, I am all in and very firm on criminals committing crime in any of our communities. But I think if people know that on the backside, because sheriffs run jails, I also provide a huge amount of second chances for people. And I think that's good to get them back in the community, be productive citizens, and support them in that effort as well. Mm-hmm.
Sheriff, I really want to thank you, as Roxanne said, for spending this time with us. Before we let you go, I want to ask you a question because I think you have a huge job. But at the end of the day, you're just a human being, right? You're just a man. And so I want to ask, what or who inspires you to continue to get up day after day and be committed to doing this work of making sure that we are safe?
Well, Virginia, I appreciate that question, but I honestly, from my perspective, I feel like I owe the community, and specific to the High Desert, I'm a desert guy. I've raised my kids here. I've had a wonderful experience in terms of this county and it being a great place to raise our family. And really what I'm doing now, I feel, is my effort to do a little bit of payback for all the good things that have come my way and that I believe this county has provided. And if I want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. And I truly believe our deputy sheriffs right now, while the world seems so confusing and so uncertain, whether you look at it from a political lens or any other lens you want to look at, I hope we're doing our best that when people see those patrol cars out there and hear about what we're doing, that we provide that stability in the community to know that we're out there trying to concentrate on what's right, not concentrating on a red or a blue picture, but simply what's right for our community.
Well, Sheriff, we definitely appreciate you. We appreciate your leadership. We appreciate everyone that works for the San Bernardino County Sheriff Department. Mm-hmm. And thank you for being a guest with us today. And we hope you will come back periodically to give us updates and feel free to share any information that you think community needs to know or may want to know. So again, thank you for this conversation.
My pleasure to both of you. And just so you know, I'm well-trained. I know the best answer to anything is yes, ma'am. My wife trained me that way, so you can count on I will be back.
All right. Thank you, Sheriff, very much.
Okay, have a great day.
You too. I have in the studio with us this morning just this wonderful woman who has been here in the High Desert forever. I know the name may be familiar to a lot of you. We've got Becky Otwell here with us this morning. She is what I call a legacy community leader. She's done some of everything in terms of volunteering, being president of this club, that club, sitting on boards, and the whole nine. And she was on the San Bernardino County Fair Board for a number of years. And then she also was part of the Friends of the Fair Board of Directors for a number of years. She is a retired business owner, but she's not retired. I'm just happy to have her here today because she's going to talk to us, Roxanne, a little bit about the San Bernardino County Fair that's going on.
Which is still going on this weekend.
It's currently going on. And so, Becky, welcome to Conversations with Regina and Roxanne.
Hi. Thank you. I'm so thrilled to be here.
Yes, we're happy to have you here. And so this year, one of the reasons that you're out there, the primary reason that you're out there, is because, as we all know, it's an election year.
A big one.
Right? And so you are out there doing voter registration.
Yes.
Right? And so talk to us a little bit about voter registration, who's eligible to vote, what's necessary, et cetera.
I just found out that if you're 16 or 17, you can register, but you can't vote. You have to be 18 to vote.
Right.
And also, we have two booths there that register people to vote. And there's a party for everybody.
Okay.
I'm going to tell them to you because I was kind of surprised myself.
Okay.
I hadn't heard of some of them. There's, of course, the Republican Party, the Democrat Party, the No Party Preference, the American Independent, the Libertarian Party, the Green Party, Peace and Freedom, and No Label Party. And this one was new to me, Common Sense Party. And I think that sounds pretty darn good.
Yeah. It does.
There's a ZZZ if you don't want to put any.
Okay.
I got the list of the voters, and I had to call down and ask what some of them were because I didn't know.
So anyone who's not registered to vote but plans to vote, which we hope is everybody in this upcoming election.
And that's why we're there.
Can come out, and while they're there at the fair, register to vote, whatever their affiliation is, right? It doesn't matter. They are able to register to vote right there on site.
Yes.
Now, how long does it approximately take somebody to fill out the paperwork?
About 5 minutes.
Wow.
At the most.
Wow.
We do let them, even if they want to fill it out at home, because it even on the back, all you do is fold it over and no stamp necessary. So we let them take it home, and then people can say, because you want to make sure you fill it out right.
Right.
And you've got to make sure you stay in the lines.
Okay.
I don't know. They're real picky about that.
Okay.
Anyway.
And then, so if, let's say, somebody decides that they do want to take it home and fill it out and send it in, or if somebody has questions, Becky, I think you've got some information about the San Bernardino County Register of Voters, that contact information where they can call and ask questions. Or there's even a website, right?
Yes.
Can you give us that information, please?
Well, you know, we had people come through this last weekend, and they say, you know, I haven't got my ballot lately. Mm. I don't know why. We haven't moved, because you have to, of course, change whenever you move. And also, people just, you know, have questions, period.
Mm-hmm.
And their telephone number is 909-387-3911. And they just recently changed when you used to go in, it was you'd go to departments of the county down to register of voters.
Mm-hmm.
Now it sends you to something new called, let's see, I have it here, elections.sbcounty.gov.
Great. Well, thank you. And thank you for coming out and sharing that information. And again, if you have any questions with regard to registering to vote, you can actually reach out to San Bernardino County Register of Voters, right, at 909-387-3911, or you can go to elections.sbcounty.gov, G-O-V.
Thanks again for being a part of our conversation. You can reach out to us and let us know what you want to talk about. Send us an email at RoxanneScafidi@edbroadcasters.com. High Desert Dialogue, Conversations with Regina and Roxanne, has been brought to you by Provident St. Mary Medical Center. COVID-19 cases are rising in our high deserts. Make your appointment today to protect yourself, your family, and our community. Schedule your free appointment at a convenient location near you through myturn.ca.gov. Message brought to you by trusted friends in the high deserts, Provident St. Mary Medical Center, and the San Bernardino County Department of Public Health. We'll talk to you next weekend.